Alrighty, we're going to continue on with the study on the finally verses. We're in about message number five. There's six total, I believe. So tonight's message is going to come out of Philippians chapter 4. We've done one already in Philippians chapter 3. This is one of the books that has two of the finally statements in it. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read a couple of verses. The section it probably goes together would be from verse 4 through 9, but we're just going to read 8 and 9 and work on those tonight. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's go to the God of peace with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that you are the God of peace. Your servant Isaiah called you the Prince of Peace. You would be the one that would bring true peace to the world, through the message that you brought of reconciliation. We're just grateful again that the cessation of conflict really only comes when we come into your presence, Lord, in our faithful obedience to the gospel call. It is then that we know that there is no longer any conflict between you and us. And it opens the door for us to resolve any conflict that may be present between us and others. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm grateful that tonight, as Paul is beginning to close out, your servant Paul is beginning to close out this letter to the Philippian church, which we know applies to us as well. He gives us a great roll call of some concepts, some ideals to cling to hold to, as we battle the world that surrounds us. So we're thankful again that you have put all these things together, that you have recorded them for us, you have preserved your word, and here we are some 2,000 years later, approximately, Lord. And we have access to them. They are untainted, uncorrupted, and true. And we have all the opportunity to study them and to pull from them the great lessons, the great help, and the great results that you want from us as your people. So thank you again for the privilege to be before your people and to offer up this message. I pray that my thoughts will be clear, that everybody will be able to understand, that you will be glorified through this message. And I ask this in the name of you, Lord Jesus. You are the Christ. Amen. All right, so pretty obvious what we're going to be talking about. It's a list. There's, if you put worthy of praise, just make that one word, praiseworthy, we got a list of seven points of positive thinking, right? Whatever, right? Oh, whatever, brethren, is pure. Whatever is, you guys missed my first joke. All right. Okay, we're off to a great start. So so we're going to talk about that. Before we get on to that, this is a message about mindset. You know, last time I was up front was Wednesday night for Lorenzo. And I did out of Ephesians 6, which, you know, put on these things, you know, commanded to do these things, put on these ideals, these concepts, work on these things that individuals need to understand so that we'll be able to stand firm. You know, and he called us to several things that we can go. I'm not going to do a lot of review on that. If you want to listen to it, you can go back and listen to it on the website, newcreation.us. But tonight we're working on mindset. You know, and this is a concept present throughout the New Testament, in reference to the Christian. So it's all about what's going on in our minds, because the world out there is bombarding us constantly with a message, and Christ is, you know, has tried to get his message through the darkness, and those of us that have received it, boom, you know, light. And so we're called lights, as is repeated here in Philippians itself, the letter to Philippians. We are lights in this world. So we're trying to take this message out, and Satan is constantly hitting us with a barrage of things, see? So We need to understand it's about mindset. It's a critical component of being a new creation. So I want to delve into that. But before we get going, let's just go over to the book of Proverbs real quickly, chapter 4. We're just going to read verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now the heart, a lot of times in the Old Testament, just talking about your deepest inward being. Okay, so that's the brain. What you get into the brain, you get into the subconscious and drive it deep in there. So we need to pay attention to these things, right? It's the what brings forth the springs of life. So thoughts. So let me just give you, before we talk about these perfect points of positive thinking, all right? Let's talk about some Old Testament examples of mindset. Some very familiar with us, I think, in this congregation. One that's very familiar is when the people came out of Egypt, right? And they are sent to spy out the promised land in Numbers 13. They come back. 10 spies say we can't do it. 2 say they can. Mindset. Negative. Oh, we can't take it. They'll whip us. 2 says, no, if the Lord's with us, we can do it. Mindset. See, so there's a reminder in the Old Testament. Who's with us is greater than who's against us. Right? Elijah. I find this Elijah is an interesting character in and of himself. But in chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18, he goes up against 450 prophets of Baal. He's on his own. He's in, you know, enemy territory, Mount Carmel, which is up in the northern kingdom of Israel. He is in enemy territory, and man, he challenges them. All right, let's find out who's the real God, right? So you call on Baal, and, you know, I'll do this thing, and, you know, whoever answers, he is God. The people say, sounds good, right? So that's chapter 18. He goes through it. The prophets of Baal, of course, couldn't get Baal to do anything. He just calls on God after he makes the sacrifice, lays it on the altar, pours water. It makes it as difficult as he can for the sacrifice to be burnt and offered to God. Down comes fire from the sky. Whoom! Burns everything up. People hit the ground. Oh, the Lord, he is God. Oh, the Lord, he is God. Right? But before that, he's telling them when he's going to have this whole showdown. He says, how long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? See, it's mindset. How long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Well, chapter 19 opens up, and that's after he gets back, runs, outraces Ahab, and the rainstorm gets back. Jezebel sends a message, says, well, hey, man, what you did to those guys, if you live, you know, you living tomorrow by this time, you know, let me be like them, you know, but I'm going to take you out, Elijah. Remember, one guy, 450 priests of Baal, enemy territory, no problem. He stands there, God's God. One woman, one threat, woo! He's gone, right? So he heads to Bathsheba, gets down there, leaves his servant behind, takes off a day's journey, sits down. Well, that's it. I'm done. I want to die. I failed. I did no better than my fathers before me, prophets before me. I'm done, right? It's amazing. He went from, I can do this, God's on my side. Oh, I'm toast. Mindset. Now, the guy that took up his man was Elisha. Elisha got a double. You know, what did he ask for? He said, oh, man, I want a double, you know, portion of what you got, Elijah. So I think he got it. Elisha's a pretty good prophet. You know, he does a lot of good things. Seems to be he's forward-focused doing things. So Elisha, in 2 Kings 6, he's there with his servant. The king of Aram's got all these ideas how he wants to attack, and they keep getting rebuffed because Elisha keeps sending messages to the king saying, hey, don't go there because that's where they're going to be waiting for you. The king sends spies anyway to check and make sure. I wonder if Elisha's telling the truth. Send spies. Spies come up. Yep, just like he said. Okay, well, we ain't going there. Great. So the king of Aram figures out after a while, all right, who in my group here is telling on me? Who's spying? Going and telling me. He goes, no. Down there is Elisha, the prophet of God. All right, and he knows what you say in your bedroom. Oh, okay. Well, where is he? Oh, I heard he's in Dothan. Well, let's go get him. Okay, guys are crazy. When you think about, you know, the guy already knows what you're doing. So you're going to go get him? These are there so that we will understand. This is humanity when it raises its fist against God. Irrational, illogical, completely crazy. Okay? And it's everywhere around us today, isn't it? So, all right, he says that. So he comes, right, down to Dothan, brings his big army, he starts to circle the city, and out goes the servant, Gehazi. Oh, no. We are surrounded. Back into the house. There's Elisha. He goes, Elisha, you know what's going on? They're surrounded. They're coming to get you. He goes, now this is my opinion, but I like, he's having his morning bread, putting a little something on his morning bread. Oh, yeah. Okay. Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Thank you, Lord. Going out there. Goes out. Ooh, all he sees is on the hills is all these chariots, fire, you know, all around the army of the king of Aram. Elisha's like, no sweat. I know who's with me. Who's with me is greater than those who are coming against us, right? Yeah, he's got the right mindset. So that's what it's all about. These are just great examples in the Old Testament that are there for our instruction, right? Upon which has come the end of the ages, right? So we need to understand this stuff. So we don't want to dwell on the negative. These are just some examples of people that can dwell on the negative. And then we got Apostle Paul's personal example. He could have dwelt on the negative. I mean, his previous experience in Philippi before he wrote this letter to him wasn't real positive. Gets beat with rods, stuck in the deepest part of the dungeon. But he's down there singing songs of praise, you know. Good things happen. Boom, earthquake, chains fall off. Gets to convert the Philippian jailer in his household, doesn't he? Good things happen. He had lots of negatives that he could have been sitting there whining about. He's writing this letter from the prison in Rome instead of writing and whining, you know, which would have given him no joy or no contentment, which he speaks about, by the way, in this letter. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Can't you hear him? He's a tigger. Rejoice. I say rejoice. Right? Instead of rejoice. Thanks for noticing me. I'm an Eeyore. Right? He's saying we can do this, right? I'm in prison. They think they got me. He says this is for the greater progress of the gospel. I'm converting the jailer to everybody else in Caesar's household. This is awesome. Right? That's his attitude. That's the way he looks at everything. So we don't want to, you know, what injustice has been done against us? What's been perpetrated against us? You know, we can't get involved in whining, you know, about our situations, because what's going to happen? We're going to start to blame others, aren't we? We're going to be involved, just immersed in self-pity. Anger and bitterness can't do it. So the Apostle Paul has this record of what he's gone through. And like it says in verse 9, he says, the things which you received, heard, and seen in me. He's been around him, so he's got a personal example that he can call to, not just there, but everywhere that he's gone. And he calls him to imitate him. But he says, none of this, right? So he says, I'm going to give you a little roll of 7 perfect points of positive thinking. Again, I'm combining worthy of praising, making that one word praiseworthy, all right? So we got basically 7 things there. And he says at the end of verse 8, we want to dwell on these things. That word in the Greek, I'm not going to go into a bunch of Greek tonight. I hammered you guys with Greek on Wednesday, and some of you were like, oh no, he's going Greek again. He went Greek on me. So all I'm going to tell you is that word in Greek tends to have an idea of where you're inventorying something. So it's time. He says, finally, brethren, we're going to inventory some things. So he's going to call them to these things, and he's going to call them out, and all of them really are pointing at the things that they have available through Christ, all right, and through the written word, through his example, and through others, is really what's coming from this message, if we look at it with the right mindset, okay? Remember, just down in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he's going to go through this. Be anxious for nothing. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. Make them known, right? And he says, the peace of God. That's another thing about Paul. Check out how many of his letters have that statement in them near the end of the letters. Romans, a couple chapters, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Corinthians, here in Philippians. The peace of God, or the God of peace, is something that he's big on, right? He says it'll surpass, you know, the peace of God surpasses trying to talk too fast, all comprehension. It will guard your hearts and your minds. You mean I can guard the way I think? Guard the way I operate? Yes. All right. So, let's talk about this in verse 8. Let's just go through these really quick, okay? He's just urging the church. He's urging us to focus on this. Now, again, when I say this, it's not like he's denying that there's negatives out there or negativity out there. He's just saying, this is how you positively operate, Christian, in a negative environment. And we have a pretty negative environment out there around us today, do we not? I mean, I think it's pretty negative. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're looking at things around you, and it's like, wow, things are really dark out there. Okay? You know, we got verses we can think of. You know, there's Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? So this is all how we deal with this stuff. I know you guys know it, but it's always good to be reminded. Anytime I see a finally and he's closing the letter, okay, these are important things. All right, he says, all right, finally, brethren, whatever is true. Okay, well, we know who is true, right? He called himself the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, right? When Jesus was in the garden before he got arrested in John 17, when he's praying for the disciples, the apostles, and those who would come through their word, what did he pray for? He said, thy word, your word, Lord, is truth. Sanctify them in truth. John 17:17, that's where that is. Okay? Sanctify them in truth. What's Satan coming at us? Well, let me see. John 8:44 says he's the father of lies. See, we do have two opposites, don't we? He's also the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, and he's the prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2:2. So he's putting his message out, and God's saying, I've got a message I've given to you. I've got examples in the Old Testament I want you to be aware of. Understand what those are communicating. And then you've got new apostolic teaching that's going to build on that, as well as the personal example of Jesus Christ as revealed in the gospel accounts. Remember, those things are floating around. Letters are floating around. Right? So they have these things available to him. So he's telling them, this is what you need to focus on. Whatever is true, that would be God. Period. So he's saying, focus on this stuff. Now, is there stuff out in the world that could be true? Is gravity true every place? Yes. But I mean, he's working on their spiritual mindset. All right? Then he goes, whatever is honorable. This word in the Greek comes from the word where you usually see the term to revere, or let's say fear in the New Testament, you know, God-fearing men or something. There's usually associated with that this word sebamai, okay? And I'm just saying it kind of in an English way. And that's usually what we'll see as revering, adoring something, right? So that's where this word comes from, and it's senmos. You don't need to remember that, but just other than this is what it is. So it's the noun form of that word. So whatever is worthy of being adored or revered, this is a trait that's listed when you're going to select elders. It's got to be required in an elder. Okay? Honorable. You know, it says here, whatever is honorable. Whatever is worthy of looking at in an adored sense. You know, how many people say, oh, I wish I was like that guy? That's what kind of in the gist of things, what's going on. So, who's more honorable or should be more revered than the Lord Jesus Christ? I can think of none. Whatever is honorable, whatever is right. This is the same word we get righteousness from, a form of it. The kaios, excuse me, and its roots is a legal term. That's really where that word in the Greek comes from, a legal term of justice, things like that. So it conveys fairness, no partiality towards anybody, no matter who they are, what they come from, no prejudice or favoritism. Isn't that the character of the Lord? Doesn't Romans 2 say there is no partiality with God? So what do you want to think about when you're looking for right things in the world? I'm probably, you know, and Paul says, you know, in the letter to the 1 Corinthians, okay, if you've been wronged and you've been defrauded, you know, So what? Don't drag the Lord's name through it, right? Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? See, so we know who's judging us righteously. We can't worry about those who are going to judge us unrighteously. In many ways, we're not going to be able to change that, okay? And again, let's just talk about no partiality. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to have it right now in our culture? Doesn't there seem like there's partiality? Kind of things are, we'll just say, different to administration of justice or things along that line, you know? There seems to be two tiers of justice in our country. Always has been that way, really, since I've been alive. If you had a lot of money, it seemed like you could buy your way out of trouble. You know, get the right lawyers, do whatever. Now it's all political, you know. So it seems like whatever party comes into power, the other party is looking like they're probably not going to be treated real justly, okay? Now, I don't know if that'll happen if there's a change in administration, but I think there will be some things that will definitely change in that regard. Let's talk about pure. Okay, this is agnos, okay? And this is the word. Now, there's pure, clean, moral, all that kind of stuff. Different words in the Greek. This one is usually used to communicate clean, wholesome, not defiled or corrupt. One who is morally pure, okay? Their mind, as we used to say, isn't in the gutter. Jesus said, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, pure. These are the ones that he wants you to remember. You're pure, right? You're pure in heart. You're going to see God. I'm going through these fast because we don't need to linger on them. You guys know a lot of this. Whatever is lovely. Okay? This is a Greek word it's prosphiles, okay? And it's the only time this word is used in the entire New Testament. Okay? And it literally means phileo. You guys have heard phileo, friend, love of friend, kind of, you know, brotherly love, okay? Comes from that root. So it means pros, you put in front of something, usually means towards something. So it means friendly towards. That's literally what it means. So he says lovely. He says whatever is can be friendly towards, something towards what? The idea is something, someone lovable, gracious, pleasant, enjoyable. Something, someone which reflects God's character, God's attributes. That's something that's lovely. Extends love, but something that's gracious, pleasant, enjoyable. All these things are encapsulated in the idea of this word in the Greek language. Okay, how about good repute? Let's talk about good repute. That's euphemos. Whenever you put EU in front of a word, that means well or good. This means something that's well spoken of, reputable. It's another compound word only used once in the New Testament. Isn't it interesting? In this list, Paul uses two words that only show up here in the entire New Testament. All right, what does that mean here? Okay, the idea is it's something, like I said, well spoken of or reputable, right? Now, it's talking about something spoken well of. So think about it. It'd be something like things that would be good to hear. How about that the Lord would like to hear? You know, so people say, what kind of music are you listening to? What kind of TV program? You know, this is all stuff you have to monitor yourself about yourself. Each you knows what you can handle and what you can't handle, how much influence you have over things. Now, I love music. I listen to music for years and years and years, you know. There's others in our congregation who have been involved in music. That stuff gets in. It doesn't go out of your head, okay? So, you know, I still think, you know, the intro hook to Sweet Home Alabama is an awesome song. You know, you can sing that song, and I'm like, you know, okay, is there anything really horrible in there? Can't find anything really horrible in that song. I mean, word-wise, you know, you're talking about a guy wanting to get home with his kin, you know. But in my mind, if I listen to songs, you know, and I can think of something better to change those words with, you guys, you know, I do it all the time. Somebody used to come up a long time ago and give me all kinds of suggestions. Hey, have you done this song? Have you done this song? You know, some maybe, some probably not. But, you know, I sing Sweet Home Montana. I do. We're here, right? Sweet Home Montana, where the skies are big and blue. Right? Sweet Home Montana. Oh, I wish you lived here too. Yeah? All right? So, is there anything wrong with singing something like that? Look at this is all God's creation. We're looking at the mountains. You know, like, I don't see how God's going to be upset with you singing something like that. You know? But what I'm saying is that these are things that are good to hear, well spoken of, reputable. They're constructive, not destructive things. Now, there are some songs, obviously, I probably choose not to listen to because I know what those words were like in some of those songs. They were pretty, well, let's just say destructive. Okay? So these are things that you want to kind of monitor in your head, things that are well spoken of, reputable. Let me see, what would the Lord really love to hear you doing? Oh, praying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 6, the previous context. I'll bet you he would really like that. When we sing, that rises before God. Sacrifice of praise, it pleases him. Singing's really a wonderful thing. I know some of us are not very good singers. You know, I understand that. You go, oh, I'm not a good... Okay, that's great. But, you know, we can all pray, right? We can all pray. These are all great things I think the Lord would like to hear. Good for us to hear. So some have developed a practice, a habit, of reading through whatever their scripture is for the day, and then praying through that scripture. Ooh, that sounds like something that'd be reputable, well spoken of. It's God's word, right? What goes out of your mouth goes back into your ear, reinforces. Zoom, boom, zoom, boom, right? Been great messages done over the years, right? Mind, what you think in your mind, we're working on mindset, comes out of your mouth, creates what's the locomotion, right? So, and that's right from Mark Miller in Missoula that did a message on that that I've listened to. I've never forgotten. It's a very good message, all right? All right, so if there is any excellence, this is funny. This not funny. It's interesting. This word is derived from the Greek word for male. I got half the crowd going, what? Remember, excellence derived from the word for male. Half the crowd's going, what? You guys getting it now? Okay, that's number two, bombed. All right, so. All right. I'm trying to develop consistency in you guys with this little roll call of Paul's here, so I'm glad somebody's getting it. But it actually is. It's the word arete, okay? And it's derived from the Greek word arein, which is typically translated man or male in the Greek. Okay, somebody say that this word would be used in the Greek when I was looking it over and doing a little study. It says manliness. You go, excellence, manliness. I know. Okay, well, excellent leader, you know, a real man. Jesus was a real man. Amen? He's a real man. Excellence, right? But it's just carrying the idea of someone or something of intrinsic or attributed virtue. Jesus had it intrinsically, all right? Once he knew who he was, being told who he was, reading the scriptures, understood who he was, given to him, birth, but intrinsically. And then we get it attributed to us in Christ, right? Moral excellence is something that we're called to work on by the Apostle Paul. I'm sorry, by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, 9, right? He talks about then in 2 Peter, where he, you know, talks about what I call the spiritual staircase to heaven, you know, in your knowledge and in your excellence and your moral excellence, supplying. You know, you can go and read that. I'm just for the sake of time not reading them tonight. But that's 2 Peter 1, 3 and 5, and then you can read it in 1 Peter 2, 9. That's the other places, only places in the New Testament where this word is used. And the other three times it's attributed as moral excellence. Okay? So, moral excellence. Jesus gave us an example. Paul is calling them to their example. What you have seen and heard in me. All right? Praiseworthy. Epinos. Okay? It's epi and an inos. Okay? It's just, it's upon praise. That's what it literally means. Upon praise. Praiseworthy. It's something that should be extolled, commended, lauded, lifted up. So those are the things that we are supposed to be putting into our minds on a regular basis, the things we should be trying to control going into our minds on a regular basis, so that the peace of God, which is in verse 7, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then if we do these things, as it says in verse 9 down there, the things you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, these are things that they are receiving from Paul, some they've already learned from him, all right, from his previous time there in Philippi and in the previous information letter, what has been transferred through others about him, all right, and then the things that he has done that they've seen. He said, practice these things, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, we have a kind of a conditional statement. The things you learn, practice these things, what do you get? God of peace, no conflict between you and God. Peace, real peace. Understanding that he will provide for you, which is what Paul goes into immediately following us. You've been concerned for my needs. Thank you. Appreciate what you've done. You know, you lacked opportunity, but you know, hey, now you're doing it. Really appreciate it. Hey, guys, don't worry whether I'm doing well or I'm living in poverty. I'm content. I'm good. Don't worry about me. Right? God of peace will provide for me. Paul is confident of that. It's just like what, you know, I was mentioning in Elisha in 2 Kings 6. I mean, he's surrounded by an army. This is just the opposite, you know, of what, well, not the opposite, but similar to what Elijah went through. Elijah's 450 priests of Baal in enemy territory, and God delivers him. Elisha's learned his lessons, hasn't he, from Elijah. Experiences that Elijah had. He's like, hey, God's got this. The guy that's panicking, and you know, and it kind of ties in with Nolan's message from this morning when he was talking about the paper's going to blow out of the car, and little Ethan, God bless him, being concerned about that. You know, you had the servant of Elisha just all in a tizzy, and Elisha's like, God's got this. We're good. We're all right. Don't worry about this. We got it. So, you know, this is what we want, is the peace of God, understanding that God's going to take care of us, all right? So, again, just to close here, all right, Paul's making a call to action. He's called to Philippians throughout this letter. He says, imitate my behavior, imitate my mindset, imitate my actions. Our actions should mirror Paul's example, right? Our mindset. Everything should mirror Paul's example. He's stressed his apostolic authority and example all through this letter. Just check me out. Here I am. All right? Now, leaders and teachers, those of you, the leaders and teachers in the assembly, leaders and teachers in your homes, that's all of us, right? Where there's people around us. That includes us who might live in apartment complexes or whatever. You put this in your head. We should provide the same type of exhortation and example to others. Hey, I'm a Christian. Feel free to watch me. You'll see I'm consistent. I'll give you an example that I think you're going to find is worth following. Okay, now some of you may go, ooh, I don't want anybody to watch me that closely. Well, then go back to verse 8, start working on those ideals, those concepts, if that's what you immediately felt. Why do I feel it? You should have the peace of God ruling in your heart, right? And in your minds, saying, I can do this. God's given me these attributes to work on. He's given me his Holy Spirit within me. I belong to him. He's got this covered. I can do this. I can turn to somebody else and say, it's okay to watch me closely. And you can check me out. I'm okay with you checking me out. That should be our statement to the world, right? Because we're lights. We're lights to the world. Right? So I just want us to understand it. So we need to provide the same type of example. And we should make that exhortation to the congregation. You know, if we make a mistake, we should be quick to fix it, right? Sure, we should. So we should be able to say to people, things you've learned, things you've received. I'm talking about guys that get up front here regularly. Seen in us. You should be practicing those. We should have no problem saying that. Things you have seen, things you have heard, things you've received from us, things you have learned from us. And then we can look at him and say, look, the God of peace will be with you. I'm just following what Paul told me to follow, what Jesus gave instruction to Paul. I'm imitating Paul. He imitated Christ. You can imitate me. Let's all imitate our leader, Christ Jesus. So that's all I wanted to just kind of review this, throw it out for you. I have every confidence in the world that all of you can do this. All right? Just whatever is true, ask yourself, I agree. Whatever is honorable, yes, Lord. Whatever is right, you're the righteous one. Whatever is pure, oh, you are the pure one. You said, if I'm pure in heart, I'm going to see you. Whatever is lovely, you are the one that expressed all good things. Whatever is of good repute, things that are good to hear, well-spoken, all right, I'm going to do that. If there's any excellence, yep, I can do that. Moral, right, moral excellence, yep, I can do that. I agree with you, Lord. Anything worthy of praise, anything praiseworthy, yep, I'm going to dwell on these things. I'm going to take an inventory, Lord. I'm going to roll the inventory call through these and go, where am I? Check off the ones that I'm doing well on. Circle the ones maybe I need a little work on. That's between you and the Lord. You don't come to me with it, okay? And say, I can do these things. I can take the inventory. I can dwell on them. I can think about them. I can fulfill my purpose. So the end result of doing what's called for in these verses, like I just said, is the church is what? Unified. That stuff that was talked about earlier in the letter. Want them unified. One mind, one spirit, right? Had a couple of ladies that were kind of having a little bit of an issue. He said, bring them back into harmony. You can be harmonious. We can get over our little things that cause us to maybe bicker. All right? When then we can execute our purpose, and the God of peace will guard our hearts and minds. And we can be confident then that we're representing ourselves just as Paul said to the Philippians. We are appearing as lights in the world. Amen? Amen. I see you all that way. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God, I am thankful again, for the positive things that you reinforce through your word of who you've made us to be as your people. And the attributes that we can acquire through the examples that are set forth through your personal example as recorded in the word, Lord, and as recorded in reference to the apostles and other faithful disciples and prophets. Lord, I'm just thankful again that you've given us everything to be equipped so that we can not only execute the work of service, but we can grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature which belongs to you. That is a promise you've made to us if we have faith and believe that you are greater than anybody in the world who would seek to oppose you and come against us. So greater are you in us, Lord, than the one that is in the world. So grateful again for so many positive things that you communicate to us, and the encouragement I draw from the brothers and sisters in Christ. You're very thankful for that. Bless them all, Lord, as we prepare to leave and finish up the assembly tonight. Help us all to get safely home. Use every day that you give us to use it well, and to remember that these are things that we can focus on when things get a little rough in the world. We feel a little anger, a little whatever coming on, little uncertainty. We can turn to your word and focus on the true, the honorable, the right, the pure, the lovely, that of good repute, moral excellence, those things that are worthy of praise. Yes, we can do that. Thank you again for supplying so abundantly to us, your people. We're just so thankful and we love you for it, Lord. Please accept our thanksgiving as we offer it up through you, Lord Jesus. You are the Christ. Amen.